Hi, this is Susie Larson. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast of Live the Promise. You know, shows like this are made possible because of your continued support of Faith Radio. To learn more, please check out our website at myfaithradio.com. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. I'm so glad you tuned in. Happy Wednesday. We have a fantastic show planned for you today. We're going to talk with an amazing woman. She's one of those girls. She's a sister of my heart. She's been on the show plenty of times. She's got a brand new Bible study out. Angie Smith joins me first hour to talk about Scripture and how to see it as one complete story. Title of her new Bible study is Seamless, and there's videos that go with it. In fact, you can get glimpses of those videos on YouTube if you type in Angie Smith Seamless, and you'll be hooked right away. You'll want to delve into this Bible study. Second hour, Shanti Feldhahn comes back to share the secrets of happy couples. So here's my question before I get Angie on. Which books of the Bible do you most often gravitate towards? Are there certain books that you just find yourself back in again and again? And are there books you tend to avoid? I just want you to think about that as our conversation unpacks. So let me tell you about my guest, and we'll get her on the show. Angie Smith is wife of Todd Smith. He's lead singer of the Dove Award-winning group Selah. And I play their songs on the show a lot, so you're familiar with them, I'm sure. And she's mother to Ellie, Abby, Kate, Audrey, and Charlotte. Her books include I Will Carry You, The Sacred Dance of Grief and Joy, and What Women Fear. And also Mended is another one that's not mentioned here. Angie lives with her husband and daughters in Nashville, Tennessee, and you can find her influencer page on our website at myfaithradio.com. Angie, dear, welcome back to the program.
Hey, I love this part. You make me sound so much more impressive than I actually am. Thank you, Susie.
Well, thanks for not having a big head. I appreciate that so much.
I want that to be like my alarm clock in the morning. It's just you like rattling off all these things
she's
about
this
me.
And she's that. Yeah, absolutely. That's great. Well, I can't wait to dig into the content of your study, but you've been on enough times to know we love to start out talking Scripture and who you love the Word of God. Is there a verse, either a life verse or just a verse that God's been talking about these days you can share with us?
Oh, that's a great question. I was about to say the one that I feel like I always say, which I'll just mention it because it's still one of my favorites, is Psalm 19:14, which I feel like I always refer back to, which talks about it's let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. That's one that's like kind of a daily prayer. But just in the past couple of days, I feel like he's had me in the book of Romans in chapter 4 and just studying what Paul is saying as he's recounting Abraham's faith. And I think sometimes we're in different seasons and we read the word and we see different things when we read it. And I'm especially caught up in Romans 4, kind of 19 through 23-ish, but it's just talking about Abraham and how he wasn't worried about God keeping his promise, even though everything in his circumstances felt like that was impossible. And that just resonates with where I am in my life right now. And I just love that he's saying, no distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. And that's one that I've just been kind of clinging to recently, looking past circumstances and relying on the promise and not distrusting.
I love that. I think I spent a year in Romans 4 one year, and I was thinking about, you know, so often, Angie, or at least sometimes you hear certain Christians may equate faith with denying the troubled circumstances, and that's not faith. Where I look at Abraham, he looked and considered the fact that his body was good as dead. So he considered, this is true, but truer still is I'm not going to waver in unbelief regarding the promises of God. To me, that's true faith, going, this might be true, but truer still is God's promise, you know?
Yeah, and we all need that. Mm-hmm. I mean, whoever's listening, I feel like that's a universal, that's one we need to keep claiming over and over again. It's been good for me in this season. So.
Hey, if I was a tattoo girl, I might just tattoo that one to my arm.
Right? I know.
Okay. So, you know, for those who have not heard our past conversations, would you mind giving us some backstory just in your faith journey?
Sure. I'm one of those, I thought it was super unique, but I've met so many other women, which is really encouraging to me because when you're kind of in this world, it's easy to feel like everyone else was raised in this and understands it and sort of grew up knowing every book of the Bible and all the songs and everything. I was not raised in a Christian home. I didn't become a believer until I was an adult. I was in graduate school. And so I've sort of had a little bit of an insecurity about that, which is why I'm so excited to talk about this study today. But the brief version is, yeah, I became a believer when I was an adult. I'm married to, I don't know if you mentioned this in that, Todd Smith, who sings in the group Selah. And I just want to say it brought tears to my eyes when you introduced me the way that you did, because a lot of people don't. Mm-hmm. And Susie was very careful and kind to mention all five of my daughters, that Audrey is waiting for us in heaven. We got to spend about 2.5 hours with her. And she would have just recently turned 7.
Wow.
So I know that's hard to believe. But yeah, that was really, being pregnant with Audrey was sort of the start of my blogging and kind of entering into this world of ministry. It's hard to believe it's been 7 years ago, but thank you for mentioning her name.
Mm, absolutely. Your story is amazing. And I think what makes you so wonderful, Angie, is the way when you came to Christ, how you came to Christ, with the questions you came to Christ, because truly you speak for a multitude and you make it attainable and accessible for those who are walking the same path as yours, or who've grown up in the faith but maybe parroted their parents' faith and have never made it their own. You dare to ask those questions that they're asking deep inside. And so, okay, you've written these other books, but this is a Bible study. And tell me how this thing was born in your heart, how it came to be. You've got videos that go with it. Talk about that.
It's so funny. I've written several books, but every single time I talk about this one, I start crying. And I think it's just because I never would have seen myself as someone who God would choose to do this. And I remember being in graduate school and not understanding the Bible. And at the time I was in a PhD program. I mean, like, by all accounts, I was moderately intelligent, but I could not understand scripture. And I would try, but it's like these tissue thin pages. And I just couldn't figure out how everything fit together. And so, as a graduate student, I started going to Lifeway and buying children's Bibles, illustrated children's Bibles, really basic, and sort of kind of trying to get the whole, like, the big picture. How did this happen? What order? And then I'd go back and sort of get the next one up, like a few more words, a few
little things. I love it.
Yeah, and I just kept doing that. And so in my heart, that was such a tender time, those early years as a believer. And I've always longed to be able to write something that would speak to that girl that I was then and so many other people who are there now. So, yeah, it's such a gift. Mm,
so good. Well, here's a quote from your introduction. I've had more Bibles than I can count since I began my journey with him. Many of them are weathered, marked, and littered with notes and prayers. It took me years and years of reading to begin to understand the story of Scripture. But when I began to, the world came into sharp focus for the first time. You know, sometimes it feels like that. I don't know if you've ever seen National Treasure, but that when Nicolas Cage gets those glasses on and the three lenses come together and he sees kind of 3D, I feel like that's Scripture when the Holy Spirit is suddenly giving you a depth of understanding. Doesn't it sort of feel like that?
Absolutely. And I think so many of us, me included, feel like maybe that moment is for other people.
Yeah.
We don't realize that the word is for us. I think for a long time I thought it was for people more intellectual than me, people more, but exactly what you said, no, he's written it for us to have that moment. So,
love that. So we're talking about Angie's new Bible study titled Seamless, Understanding the Bible as One Complete Story. So if you've been intimidated by Scripture or you love someone who has been, we've got a few copies to give away. You can chime in at any time, call with your questions about the Bible. I'd love to hear from you. 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH. I'm telling you, put that number on your speed dial so you can call us quickly. And email is Susie@myfaithradio.com. So Angie has a few of these video sessions up on YouTube and on her website. She'll give you just kind of a taster, and that's all you need to be hooked to want to do this study. We're going to listen, if you don't mind, Angie, to a short clip from your session 3, and I'd love for you to comment on it afterwards.
Sure.
He changes our names. We see this even in Scripture and in more obvious ways. There are only a few people in the entire Bible that God actually changes their names for them. And 3 of them were in your homework this week. The first one is Abraham. And as you read, God changes his name from Abram which means a noble father, to Abraham, meaning father of many. And the reason he does this is to signify, you are becoming the person who I have made you. Your identity is in this. I will keep the promise that I have made to you. And then we see him change the name of Abram's wife, and it comes from Sarai, and it turns to Sarah. And basically, even though it seems like a subtle difference, Sarai means my princess, which sort of is thought of as like the princess of one person. And then it becomes Sarah, which means princess, but princess to many. And again, the idea was the same. I am going to keep my promise to you, and this is who you're going to be. And then Jacob. I love the story of Jacob. I always have. And I want to point something out here, because I think a lot of times when we're reading scripture, we miss some of the patterns that God has put in there. And they're important for us to pay attention to, because they continue on throughout the entire thing. And what we see here is Sarah, who hadn't necessarily believed the promise of God, and had sort of like stepped in and decided she needed to take things into her own hands, manipulated it a little bit, and after that hiccup, eventually had the child that God had promised. That child grew up and then had Jacob. Jacob is a manipulator himself. He's born that way. His name means heel grabber. From the very beginning, we see him vying for the position of being first and trying to be known. He's lived his entire existence this way. And I'm just going to be totally honest with you. I'm so glad that there are Jacobs in the Bible. Because I think if I were to read it, I would think, well, maybe I'm the only one who does this. Maybe everyone else is righteous and they do things perfectly. But no, there are people like Jacob who you look at and you think, okay, I'm a Jacob. Maybe there have been times in your own life that you've manipulated things or you've twisted them, even lied to get accolades, to get something that you wanted, to change the situation or make people see you differently. I mean, I haven't, but maybe you have. Obviously, I'm totally kidding. I think in some ways I've been a Jacob since the day I was born too. And so when I read his story, I'm just so moved by it.
Just gripping. What's that like for you, Angie, to be on the listening side of that little clip?
It's awful.
Oh. Not expecting.
Oh, my word. Hey, you just saw funny answer.
Yes.
Me, you're like,
oh, my word.
No, that's not what I said.
That was not what I was expecting
no.
you to say.
Actually, that one was probably the most emotional one I did. Mm. That video in particular was really, really hard for me. So even just listening, I was like picturing what was going through my mind, and just, yeah, that one in particular was, we had to kind of redo that one a couple of times and have makeup come in and try and fix me up, because that just, you know, that's a hard, there's some times in my life I look back on and I'm like, oh, I wish I hadn't looked that way. Yeah.
Wow.
So.
Well, I appreciate that so much. You never cease to surprise me. I'll just tell you that much. But, you know, I wanted you to talk to that person listening. Oh, I love it. We're hearing the birds. We're hearing the dogs. We're hearing the airplane.
Yeah, exactly.
It's
I know.
Perfect.
There's nowhere I can hide from my children.
It's
They're everywhere.
Totally good.
And I thought the yard would be my best bet. But
it's all good. We love it. We'll take you however we can get you. But I want you to talk to that person who's listening, who hasn't come to the other side of how God sees them. All they can see is who they've been, what they've done. And
yeah.
So they've not even ever thought to maybe hope that there's someone that they can be that, through God's strength in them.
And I understand that so much. People who, if you happen to study, or even if you don't, the beginning, and I talk about this in the introduction, but the first time I did a Beth Moore study, I went through the entire study and I was not a believer. Because I felt like I was not one of them. I saw them as so pure and so good, and I felt like I had made decisions in my life that would disqualify me from that. And I was so blessed to have a group of girls around me who I feel like the Lord really put in my life to say, no, you've not, you can never get too far for His grace. And just slowly walked me into a place where I realized that he wanted to rename me. And he didn't see me the way I saw myself or the way my past defined me. And that's a tender spot for me. And I believe that there are probably people who are listening right now who maybe they wonder if they are too far from his grace. And it makes sense for other people, but they can't imagine it for themselves. And I've been there, and I know that that's not the case. And I'm so grateful that I had people around me to keep encouraging me and saying, you know, they wanted me to stick with it and not get so down on myself. But it is hard. And I feel like that's one of Satan's greatest tricks is to say to us, yeah, would he really love you that way? Mm. Are you, would he ever care for you that way, or is it for other people? And so specifically when you asked that, I just thought of that sentence. Mm. I thought it was for other people. And so for anyone listening, it's not. It's for you. I mean, that was that's what he desires.
You know, it is one of the enemy's greatest tricks. And on the flip side, isn't one of God's greatest glories? I mean, when you think about in those places we hide or make excuses for or try to cover up, and we walk in our honesty before him, it's where his glory shines through. In fact, we have an anonymous caller, Angie, who just called in. Mm-hmm. This chokes me up, but she said, Angie's story of buying children's Bibles was so precious for me to hear. And mm-hmm. she sounds like a woman who's such a tender steward of the word. Thank you for having her on today. And that friend, thanks for calling. And it makes me think of a loved one who's just so, I think, afraid to come near, but wants to. You know, it's like, is this for everybody else but me? Mm-hmm. That's who you're reaching. I mean, you're reaching the Bible study girl for sure, but you're widening the net to people who've been so intimidated up to this point, you know?
I hope so.
So good.
I hope so.
Well, you wrote regarding the covenant that God made with Abraham that in this moment, God made a promise he will keep for all time, one that affects our lives today. Such an important point. Unpack that, if you would, a bit more.
Well, I just think, you know, this is me coming from, like, academic Angie, you know? And I laugh about this, but the truth is I felt like I came from a family of my father's very well educated and just smart and logical, and there was so much of me that would read the Bible and would see it as a fictional story. Beautiful, but maybe not reliable as far as a historical document. And as I started reading through some of the stories that, especially Abraham, and you learn about his son Isaac and his son Ishmael and the promise that was given to Abraham regarding his son. And I want to interrupt myself here and say, if someone is listening and none of this makes sense to you and you don't know these names, please don't be intimidated. It's a lot. But I was so impressed by the fact that when I started studying the life of Abraham and the fact that God promised him a son and sort of what transgressed after that, and understanding that the son that he had with his wife's maidservant, Ishmael, was not the promised child, that Ishmael is the father of the Arabs, and then eventually having Isaac. And to watch the news even now and see conflict that's going on in the world and understand that this conflict originated in this, you know, to see that God said, this child, I mean, he told Hagar, this child will be a wild donkey of a man. He will be against all these nations. And I think in my mind, and probably so many others, we read through some of this and it's like, I'm going to highlight the things that I might embroider on a pillow, you know, and this is not one of those stories, but you read it. And when you spend the time studying it, you start to understand why, when you turn on the news tonight, the conflict that you're seeing, that the origins are here in the book of Genesis. And for me as an academic, when I could get to the point where I was like, and I know this sounds silly, but where you go, oh, this is real. This really happened. These are real. This is what it was. That was earth shattering for me. And so just studying the promises that God has made and seeing the way that even up until now he has made good on those promises, it's incredible, but it felt so over my head at the time. I feel like those kinds of stories that we would tuck aside as like, this is not related to us, this is so far away. No, we're still seeing this even now.
And you know, you talk about you definitely were an academic. For that person who not only is intimidated by scripture, but would never consider themselves an academic, you say this: I want you to remember something very important. The Bible wasn't written for a few experts to understand while baffling the rest of us. Did you hear that? The Bible was written for us, and we are claiming that right now, even before we turn a page. With that being the case, I want you to erase any part of your self-talk that says you're not smart enough or educated enough or even spiritual enough. I want you to talk, Angie, about the dynamic of the Holy Spirit's ability to help us understand. If we show up with a humble, teachable heart, He will tell us things, as Scripture says, that we don't even know. He'll confide in us. And so unpack that, if you would.
I love that you said that. And when you started to ask that question, that's I was like, yes, yes. Oh, because I feel like it again, going back to, like, where does Satan prey on, you know, where does he look to see if he can, like, pull us away from the faith? This is huge. He wants us to believe that we are not smart enough to understand this. And the entire point is that God wrote it for us. And so I know that for myself, even as I'm reading, and I'm just going to be transparent, Susie, because you have that kind of show. There are books of the Bible that are harder for me to understand than others.
Mm-hmm.
Some for certain reasons, like Leviticus.
I was going to say Leviticus.
You know? Yeah.
I struggle
others,
my way
like,
through. Mm-hmm.
Right. Revelation for different reasons. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So there are books, and then sometimes you'll read your Psalms, and you're like, oh, I understand that. This is and so something that the Lord has impressed upon me is just that in my own mind, I felt like I had to understand everything so perfectly or I wasn't a good Christian. Like I felt like I needed to be able to go through even those, what I would call difficult books and be able to dissect this. And what is the original language? And the Lord was like, Angie, like I want your heart. You know, I want you to be in the Word and loving me and seeking me. And I think when I started to let go of that, like, I'll never understand this, I would open up and just say, Lord, show me, and ask the Holy Spirit, bring life to these words. Bring life to this today. In my own circumstances, help me understand this. And he will honor that. And I don't understand the hows and the whys of how he does that. But now I feel like I'm not as discouraged when there are things that I feel like I don't really understand who that people group was or where they were living, or I don't think that's the heart of what we're called to do in our faith, and it's okay.
Yeah,
if we don't know all the details.
I remember a story of Corrie Ten Boom when she got out of Auschwitz, and she was really just traveling all over the place, and she called herself a tramp for the Lord, and was just gathering lots of crowds and talking about the love and the faithfulness of God. And she was surrounded by a number of Bible scholars who were challenging her, like, what credentials allow you to do such a thing? And then she takes out her little grandma purse. She pulls out a chocolate bar. She breaks it up and hands them each a piece, and they eat. And she says, good, gentlemen, is it good? And they said, yes. And she said, do you know how they make chocolate bars? And they said, no. And she said, I don't know everything that you know, but I've tasted and I've seen that my Lord is good. And I thought, what?
Stop.
I know. Isn't that amazing? And I just
so
thought,
good.
And truly, that's what he invites us to come as a child, humbly taste and see that I'm good. Take my yoke. And then you've got a story to tell. You've got something to share, don't you?
Yeah.
Hmm. So
oh, that's
good.
So good.
Yeah, you take that one because it's a good story.
Oh, I love that. Yes, I'm going to.
Do it, honey. So we got about a minute before we take a break, but you also address the person who says the Word is boring. What do you say to the person who said, I've opened it up, it's boring, I don't know what to do?
I get it. I felt that way early on. I got through a couple books, and then I call Leviticus like the I give up, you know, it isn't, but I get it. And I think hopefully this study will help you get through those parts that seemed like they were boring because you didn't understand them. And once you do, they will not be that way anymore.
Yeah. Scripture says the Bible is living and active and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It's living and active. So that means there's a fresh, efficient word in the Word for you today. Talking to Woman of Faith speaker and author Angie Smith. Title of her new Bible study, we're celebrating the release of this great study. It's titled Seamless, Understanding the Bible as One Complete Story. We're going to continue to unpack it. Welcome your questions. I think we've got a few more copies to give away. It's a great gift, I'm telling you. 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484, or email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. More with Angie Smith in a moment. one of those not yet seasons. You don't see how all these pieces tie together. No thread will be unwoven. Every promise, every purpose will be fulfilled because God's going to finish what he started. That's why I love the title of Angie Smith's new Bible study, Seamless. Understanding the Bible as one complete story. And I think if you see scripture that way, you'll start to see your story that way. Got a few copies left to give away. If you want to talk with Angie, got a question about the Bible, we'd sure love to hear from you. 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. Well, Angie, another common roadblock to studying scripture is skepticism, where folks want the tangible answers to everything. You sort of touched on that. I mean, I have to know everything before I'll believe, or they get lost in sort of debating the details and miss the heart of the message. And I want to read one of the, another quote from your Bible study and have you comment on it. I love this. You said, "It's not a cop-out to say you're clothing yourself in humility and seeking his voice. So before you get any further, spend just a moment praying over anything that rises up in you in an attempt to discredit the word. Make a commitment to yourself and to God that this study is not a place for wrestling out every question you have, but rather an opportunity to grow in knowledge." Love that. Say a little more.
Well, I think I think humility is just, it's the most essential attribute that we can have when we come to the word. And, you know, we live in a world where people can very easily be extremely vocal about whatever the latest, you know, argument is. And are Christians for this? Are they against this? Are they for this? And I think it's unprecedented, you know, with all the social media that we have, and it's loud. And I think that so many times in my own heart, you know, and just going to scripture and saying, "Lord, you show me you," because it's easy for me to hear other people's voices and to start to feel like, oh, okay, this is the issue of the day. Let's try to deal with this. And where do I stand on this? And I have to, and there's something in me that I think it was even a few years ago that I just felt like the Lord was like, I want you to spend time with me and listen to me and not be so consumed with the chatter. Mm-hmm. And it's incredibly difficult. I dare say harder than it's ever been before, but I do feel like the humility of coming to the word and just saying, "Speak to me," not with an agenda, and not because it is easy. Like, I know, Susie, you understand this. We see this all the time, right? You can, if you're someone who's come to scripture wanting to manipulate it, you can. Mm-hmm. If you want to come and prove a point and find scripture to back that up, you can. You probably can. You can take something even out of context and back it up. And I just found even in my own heart that I was a little bit stubborn about certain things, and that what the Lord convicted me of more than anything was just that I needed to come with humility and let him speak. And I feel like my own pride had put up a block toward him, and my own sense of like, what is everyone else saying? You know, what is that? And so it's harder though now, I think, than it has been to do that and just to come humbly and say, "Lord, even if this doesn't match up with what is PC right now, what are you saying to me?" Mm-hmm. I want my spirit to be tender to that. And it's hard, though.
It is hard because that chatter is all around us. And when you think, Angie, mm-hmm. that scripture says in the latter days, the love of most will grow cold. When you keep your head in the chatter, I think, you know, people are pushing you to, not just you, but, you know, Christians to say, well, if you're kind to them, that means you're aligning with them. And there's so much noise that for me, but that's exactly what I have felt the Lord say, come away and rest a little while so that everything that you think on, pray on, compels you to love more deeply. That's the highest order of the day is to love more deeply. And I, boy, it's so not politically correct. In fact, I heard Francis Chan about a week ago speak at a National Day of Prayer event, and he held up the Bible and he said, "This is not a politically correct book." And he said, "I dare say to you, preachers, if you're not that you're setting out to offend people, but if you're not causing a little bit of disruption with teaching the Word of God, you might, if you're not offending people at times, you might just be deceiving them and misleading them, because we can't cherry pick our faith." And I thought that is a wow. It really is. And yet, can we do that while we walk in love and rightly handle the Word of truth? I just think we have to have time in the Word with God, away from the chatter, if we're going to rightly divide the Word of truth, don't you?
I do too. Yeah, absolutely. And again, that humility of coming before him and saying, "Lord, I want to shut down everything I've seen on Facebook. I want to shut down everything on Instagram. I don't want that noise. I want your voice. Mm-hmm. Speak to me. What is it that you want to say? That bowing before him, the humility. And that's where he's spoken to me the most.
Me too. So good. So good.
Yeah, it's hard, though.
It is hard. It is. And I think that it's going to get louder and noisier and more polarizing. And but that's why I really believe, Angie, there's going to be a remnant in this latter day, you know, of people who are walking in humility and love. Because one of the things Francis Chan preached on was in 2 Timothy, that in the last days, it'll be very terrible times. And he said this passage is speaking to the body of Christ. The body of Christ will be lovers of self, lovers of greed, slanderers, disrespectful. And you can see how in this polarizing day to feel justified on the issue, I have to, I can let go of love because I'm so staunch on my issue.
Yes. And that's so true.
Lord help us. But anyway, back to the topic here, which we're sort of on.
I like that tangent. That's a good one.
Amen.
We can write a book on that.
Let's do it. Well, let's talk about this process in you, Angie, and the common themes you found in Scripture as you did this study from start to finish, and maybe ones that even surprised you.
Well, I would say some of it was, and maybe for people who aren't as familiar with Scripture, you know, I say that, but I did a Bible study recently. It was last year, and we were studying, and at one point we talked about all the promises about Christ that we saw in the Old Testament and a prophecy about specifically about Jesus, and we had women in our study. And I love this about the study. It was very multi-generational. So we had, you know, women who were in their 70s and 80s all the way down to, like, 20s, which I just think is the coolest thing. And one of the women who was in her mid-70s got choked up reading. Specifically, there were some things from Isaiah that she was reading. I believe it was chapter 53 that she hadn't ever really read through and identified as prophecy specifically about Christ. And it stirred this fire in me of I just think that for the most part, and this is a really broad statement, so forgive that, but I think there are quite a few people in the faith who sort of discount the Old Testament, or at least parts of it, and feel like it's so far removed. And, well, James has all these great quotes, and again, like sort of the embroidery thing, right? Like, what can we find? And some of this other stuff feels like it's way, you know, like in the past. And I think one of the most powerful things that I learned is how much prophecy there is about Christ in the Old Testament that I'm not sure that most people know. And so for me, writing this, I think that was one of the most exciting things, was to start to tie up some of those threads and say, do you understand that this prophet was, you know, talking about this or what, you know, specifically? So that was really exciting for me because that, I think that comes, you know, that doesn't come in your very first days as a believer. You're just trying to get it pieced together in a general way. And then once you get that, you can start to kind of go back and see these threads literally all the way from Genesis that are pointing to our Messiah.
And if you kind of relegate the Old Testament to just being old news and not now news and good news, so to speak, you won't look for the good news in there, will you?
Right. Yes. Or the characters, you know, to understand like, oh, this woman who was a prostitute, who was like the lowest of the low, who threw out a scarlet cord, you know, and you're reading and then you're like, and she would be in the lineage of Christ. Mm. Like those kinds of things that you just, it's just sort of this thread that weaves through that I just didn't understand for a long, long time.
How wonderful. And you bring it all together in this study, seamless. Again, we've got, I think, a couple copies left to give away. I'd love for you to chime into the conversation. Don't be afraid to get on the air. If you feel funny about your question, you don't need to. But if you prefer to be anonymous, that's totally okay. Right. Call yourself Angie. Angie won't mind, right? Your pseudonym can be Angie. 877-933-2484. We have one more clip of your from your video series, and your videos were so stinking well done. I just loved them. This one is session 6, where you're talking about the reality of what Christ has done for us. I'd love for you to comment on this after we play it. Here it is.
I so pray that as you went through your homework this week, you saw something new in Scripture as you read. I'll tell you this, I probably could have recited the story of Christ's birth and his life and his death for many years, but it wasn't until it really moved me to tears that I finally understood it. When I read my Bible, and I want to encourage you to do this too, I put myself in the scenes. I try to imagine every detail around me. I want to know what it might have smelled like, what it might have tasted like, what it sounded like to be in every single moment. I want to feel those words just come alive in my soul. And sometimes that means trying to erase images of cartoon whales and ark murals. Sometimes it means trying to erase other people's interpretation of different events in Scripture. Sometimes it means trying to erase the temptation to just see them as stories. And sometimes on a week like we've just completed together, it means recognizing the places I've tried to erase reality for the sake of avoiding true comprehension and the acknowledgement of what happened on Calvary. Because the truth of the matter was, it was a real crown of thorns that pierced his head. They were real nails that drove through his flesh with the brute force of human hatred. And I understand that we would be crazy not to try and look away from something that horrific. The truth of it is, we'd be crazier to actually do so. And so I know it's tempting to avert your eyes, but in doing so, I think you might avert your heart. And that's more than we can afford to do. As the breath of life left Jesus' body for the very last time, Scripture tells us that the veil in the temple was torn in two. Maybe before now you didn't have the context to appreciate that, but it changed everything. Everything.
That just chokes me right up. Isn't it amazing? Mm. And we have to revisit what he did and marvel in the wonder of it. I mean, truly marvel that your name is written in the book of life. I mean, what an amazing miracle. Wow. Mm. Did you like your voice better that time?
No. No, but again, I'm so emotional because I'm like remembering trying to record it and like, you know, you can't see the behind the scenes of what's happening in these videos. So while you're playing that, I'm remembering what was like happening in real life. And it's so fun to think about. The behind the scenes stuff is always the most fun to me.
Indeed.
That one in particular, I'm on a swing and the sun was setting and we had literally like 13 minutes. And so I got one take on that video before the sun set. And I cried through the whole thing. And I'm like, I'm probably a mess, but like, let it be that way, because how else should we come to him if we don't, if we aren't in tears, if we don't understand the sacrifice to the point where we are weeping over it? We've missed it. I mean,
Yeah, so good. Well, let's talk for a moment about King David. And you make such a good point when the prophet comes to confront him of his sin, of sleeping with Bathsheba and then having her husband killed to cover up the sin. Now, I normally wouldn't read this much of an excerpt, but I have to because it's so stinking good, and I want you to comment on it. I hope it's okay.
You're so sweet. You're so encouraging.
It really is so amazing. And here you say, forgive me for wandering off topic a bit for a moment, but I can't move on without doing so. Plenty of women reading these words will say something like this in their head. So my baby died or some other ugly tragedy happened because I screwed up. It's my punishment. It's my fault. I'll be honest with you about something that's hard for me to understand. I believe that in this particular incident, David's son died as a result of his sin. The only reason I feel comfortable saying that is because the text is clear that that was the case. But that doesn't mean the same is true in any other instance. Unless you've been specially called of God to be king of Israel and to write a good portion of the Bible, hear me, or even better, hear God, Psalm 103:10, he has not dealt with us as our sins deserve or repaid us according to our offenses. You said assuming causation in situations like these is one of the most dangerous things we can do for ourselves and for others. I speak boldly here because I've been the victim of this kind of thinking, and I was wounded for quite some time. I'd lay awake at night when we'd found out that Audrey wouldn't survive, recounting mistakes I'd made in my life and camping out on the notion that I was being punished for my sin. Such an important point. Talk more about that. Tell us even, Angie, if you would, what it was like for you when you were in the midst of that, believing a lie around Audrey's passing.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a natural place for us to go as humans, and especially, you know, as a mom, when I found out that we were 20 weeks pregnant, when I found out that she wouldn't survive, according to the medical standpoint, and immediately, and I know I'm not the only one who feels this way, I thought, what did I do? You know, what caused this? What was it in me that deserved this. And I think that, again, this is an area where Satan just thrives. He wanted me to be awake at night thinking about my past sin, thinking about whatever it was. And it's so easy for us as believers to say, and I've met so many women, Susie, who have said, I had an abortion when I was such and such age, and I haven't been able to get pregnant. And I know that it is because I sinned in this way. And I think there are very few situations in Scripture, that's one that I mentioned about David, where God is clear that he did, that was what he held for David. That was his punishment. I mean, that Scripture says it blatantly.
Mm-hmm.
But it's such a dangerous place for us to go now and to say, was it this that caused this? Was it this sin in my past that you're punishing me with this? And I know it's easy because that's how our brains work, and I fought it, and I still fight it. But the truth of the matter is, assuming that kind of causality is just, it's very dangerous. And we don't know. I don't know why God took Audrey. I mean, and a struggle that I have is that a lot of times I have people come up to me, and the one thing I will say is that so many women come up to me and say, this is a pretty bold, thing for me to say, but I believe it, and I think it's true. There are a lot of women who have lost children or have gone through a hard time, and they've said, that was Satan winning. And that's just something we need to be really careful with. I don't believe that anything passes unless it's gone through the hand of God. And so for me, thinking about Audrey, does Satan have influence? Does he want awful things for us? Of course he does. Does he want us to doubt? Yes, of course he wants all those things. But he never trumps God.
Mm-hmm.
And so if Audrey's passing happened, then my God had the final say. And I don't know why. I may not know why on this earth, but one of the biggest mistakes I can make is to assume it's something I've done that caused this. And in the years since we've lost her, that's one of the things I've heard the most frequently from women is I believe this is punishment for such and such. It's just a very dangerous place to go. We don't. God doesn't open up the door for us to make those connections.
Your Scripture says, surely he took our sorrow. You know, the judgment that brought us peace was upon him. And boy, do we need to remember that. And it's one thing to do that to ourselves. It's a whole nother thing to sum up somebody else's pain with our own assessments. And I wonder, do we do that because we're legalists at heart? If I can figure out why you suffered, maybe I can avoid having to suffer.
Right.
If I can do the math and figure out what step you missed. It's so painful when you're on the receiving end of that. I don't think people even realize it. But where does it come from? Is it a place of fear? I want to control my life so I don't have to walk through what you walk through? Is that it?
I do think that's part of it. And I also think just there's a part of us that wants to believe that everything that God brings is good and anything that would be bad is coming from Satan and what we deem is bad. And so we make this sort of dividing line. Like, this is my comfort zone. If this happened, it must have been my enemy doing this. And because that's comfortable to feel like I can trust God, he'll only bring me what I call good.
Mm.
And unfortunately, that is not, that's just, there's nowhere in Scripture that we ever see anything that supports that.
Right.
Because our view is not his. And so I just think we have to be so careful in even deciding what is, I've struggled with it a lot, and I will say I don't want to say that and sound compassionless because I've had so many women confide in me and share their hearts and they're really wrestling through. I don't want to believe that my good God would allow this, and I get that, I really do. But at the end of the day, I can't live in a world where I don't believe that God has the final say.
Indeed.
And Scripture is very clear in saying that he is working all things for the good of those who love him. And so I just have to believe that I don't see the whole picture. But
Thinking of Jesus in the garden, you know, Father, be it your will, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, not mine, but thine. Glorify your name. And it's like, this is only part of the story, and one day we will see it all. We just got probably about 4 or 5 minutes left to take your calls. If you've got a question for Angie, 877-933-2484. Elizabeth is calling in from Farmington, Minnesota. She's been on hold. She's got a question for you. Elizabeth, welcome. You're on with Angie.
Hey, Elizabeth.
Hi, thank you. Hi. Well, not so much as a question, as just really wanted to comment that I think the resource that you have sounds great. I just find that I really struggle with reading my Bible, and I do get intimidated, and I get distracted all the time. And I love my church, love my pastor, but he's really smart, and sometimes the sermon goes over my head. And so I just really am looking for a resource, and it just sounds like a really helpful tool. And sometimes too, when I do a read something, passage of scripture, whatnot, it's if I don't know the context or I don't understand it, then I get frustrated, and then I just want to close my Bible, and then I get mad, and I'm like, wait a minute, that's not working. So anyway, thank you.
Totally get that. Thank you.
You're going to love it. You're going to love it, Elizabeth. And it's like Anne should be walking with you as a girlfriend through the study of the scripture. You're going to love it. I'm glad we're going to get you a copy. They didn't arrive in-house just yet, so just be patient. I think you'll get them and get your copy probably in the next week or two, but it'll get there, okay?
Great. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Bless you, dear sister. 877-933-2484. You're talking about people like Rahab and even Ruth, you know, her story, the Moabite, who's just her, one of my favorite stories. But the people that God wove into the lineage of Christ, it sort of takes your breath away. But truly, if you don't know that and you're in this present day context and you have a past, a track record, and your parents do and your grandparents do, it would be so easy to identify more with past sins than the promise of a potential future. So I want you, if you wouldn't mind, talk to that person listening who is just can't get out from under the condemnation and identifies himself more with their sin and their struggle than anything else.
Oh, my goodness. Then scripture's for you.
Amen.
This is the story. This is the story from beginning to end of the Lord coming, that God sent his son in the flesh to come for people exactly like you. And through people exactly like you. I feel like the first time I understood that as I read through scripture, I was like, wait, he chose this person and this person. Mm. And, you know, you're reading through and thinking, these are the outcasts, these are the sinners, and that's the whole point of it. And that's what makes it so beautiful. And I just felt compelled to say, and I think back to myself as a student sitting in the parking lot of this big Christian store and looking in and saying, they've got their act together, and I'm someone who's made bad choices, and I would never be one of them, and I wouldn't even walk in the store, Susie, like literally would not walk in the store, didn't that day. It took me a long time to walk in, and I think that what God told me was that, you know, this, you're who I wrote this love story for.
That's right.
I never asked you to do everything perfectly, and there's nothing that's too far gone. But for me, it felt that way.
You know what I can confidently say after today's show, Angie, is that there's going to be a big spike in children's Bibles. Sales. The sales are going to skyrocket. Give me one of those illustrated.
It helped me so much.
I love that. Well, I've got another question before we pray. One last question here. But, you know, by the time you did tackle this Bible study seamless, you were a teacher of the Word. You were somebody who's been in the Word for years and teaching others. Is there, you know, approaching the study at that point and coming out the other side of it, did you find anything that surprised you in Scripture that you didn't expect?
Yeah, I did. And I would say that some of it had to do with, there's like this chunk of history that was always really confusing to me. And I started to be able to sort through like different prophets and who they were speaking to and why they were called to speak to those people. And those are books of the Bible that I always kind of skimmed past and not really understood who they were and who God asked them to speak to. And so for me, that brought, probably that section was the most I don't know, enlightening maybe is the right word, because like you think about Jonah and you think about the whale, right? Immediately you're like, I'm transported back to this cute little diagram that I've seen. But then to understand, like, why did God choose this person to speak to these people? And what did that look like? To go through it over and over again and really understand that all of these things that I had seen big picture versions of, but to zoom in and see that, the prophets probably, for me, were the most enlightening.
Wow. Love it. Well, we are just excited to dig in, and I think we might have to have you back and take a couple of books and talk about
any
them.
Day.
Love that. Love that so much. Well, as we wrap up, I wonder if you'd pray for that person. I'm just feeling as I was praying for today's show that there's a person listening today who's just bound by condemnation, and now they're sensing that invitation. Would you pray for that person?
Yes, Lord, speak, please. Mm. All of this we bring to you because we know that you are worthy and you are good and that you have written this word for us. And so for those people who are listening, who are saying, this is for someone smarter, this is for someone more educated or what more Christian, whatever that means, Lord, would you speak specifically to that woman or man and say, no, this story is for you. And Lord, boldly, I ask that you would even bring them to a scripture that would remind them of the way that you still speak to us through your Holy Spirit. We are so grateful for this word that is alive, and we thank you for it every day. God, would you just strengthen the people who are listening and inspire them to open up their Bibles again, even if it's been a while, and hear your voice. And I thank you in advance. I believe that you are going to do that. And so, Lord, we give all the glory to you. And we are grateful for the word you've given us and for the sacrifice that you made on our behalf. We love you. We pray these things in your name.
Amen. Angie, I want you to know God puts you on my heart regularly, and I pray for you. I just appreciate you so much. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
You are dear. Title of our study again is Seamless, Understanding the Bible as One Complete Story. Coming up next, Shanti Feldhahn on the secrets of highly happy couples. Don't go away. Hour 2 is up next.